Hello. Welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin our program today with an article which appeared in the March 9th issue of the Arizona Republic. The title of the article is Hard Work Finding a Job. Experts give advice on how to find employment amid hiring slump. This article was written for The Republic and for USA Today by Bailey Schultz. Over the last few months, career coach Eliana Goldstein has seen a spike in job seekers looking for help. While the U.S. unemployment rate dropped in January and the labor market itself appears to be on solid footing, hiring has slowed. Employers added 143,000 jobs in January alone, falling short of forecasts and the average monthly gain of 166,000 in 2024. Meanwhile, the hiring rate stood at 3.4% in December of 2024, which was down from 4.6% in 2021. For many job seekers who are extremely ambitious, very competitive, and highly qualified, they are having a lot more trouble these days, Goldstein said. Job seekers say unemployment today can be grueling, with about one out of five without a paying job for at least 6 months now. Career experts shared steps job seekers can take to have their applications stand out in a competitive job market. First, figure out which job is the right fit. Job seekers struggling to find work should take time to reevaluate their goals, according to Amanda Augustine, who is a career expert at resume writing service Top Resume. Finding a job today may require a jumping to a new industry altogether, she said, or saying yes to a stepping stone job that could lead on to a better opportunity down the road. One of Augustine's favorite ways to find new opportunities is to search through LinkedIn for workers who held similar roles, either at the same company or at a competitor. What kind of job did they take next? What industry are they working in today? And is it possible to reach out for advice? Let's make certain that the goals are realistic for you, she said. It requires some research as well as some self-reflection. Job seekers can also use their spare time to broaden their skill sets. Augustine said they should examine the job descriptions out there that piqued their interest and make sure they're not missing any relevant skills. That does not necessarily mean spending thousands of dollars going back to school, said Catherine Fisher, who is a career expert at LinkedIn. Just start bite-sized learning, Fisher says, even if it's 10 minutes a day of taking a course so that you're acquiring those skills. And why is networking useful? Rhody Matthew, who is 24, lives in Amarillo, Texas, said that he sent more than 400 applications out before he landed a job in October. The seventh-month job search was brutal for him, he said. Days were spent scanning LinkedIn for new opportunities out there and sending applications. Afternoons were for following up with companies to check out on the applications he had already sent out, a step that seemed critical to him. They like to see that motivation, that drive, that said, "Hey, I really want this position," he said. Matthews is not confident that the approach will work for every job seeker out there, especially those in larger markets, but he said it was a strategy that paid off for him when he did not have an established network to lean back on. Generally, networking is among the first steps that job seekers should explore, though, according to Augustine. You're much more likely to land the job, not only the interview, but the job itself, if you are referred, she said. Those referrals are known to bring in people who are typically a good cultural fit, who have already been vouched for in some shape or form. And so the more you can leverage your network, the less competition you will face. Goldstein said that having a referral is almost a necessity today in today's competitive landscape. Relying on traditional means for landing a role or roles are not just going the way it has done in the past, she said. With so much competition out there, and because of the proliferation of artificial intelligence and that talking over things, it makes it more difficult to get through to humans. Experts say that other trends as well, such as a ghost job listing, uncertainty under a new administration, and a renewed push for some companies to get workers back into the office, further complicate matters. People today are landing jobs every day, but it does take a much higher volume of effort and level of consistency, and overall the timelines are just a bit harder today, Goldstein said. How to spruce up a resume. Goldstein recommends keeping resumes focused on the value the applicant can bring to a company. Don't just talk about, here's what I did, but rather, here's what I did and here are the outcomes, she said. Artificial intelligence can be a useful tool when building a resume. A 2023 experiment from a Massachusetts Institute of Technology student and co-researchers found job applicants were 8% more likely to be hired if artificial intelligence helped to fix spelling and grammar errors. But Augustine warned that applicants should not over-rely on AI, and she said there's been a backlash among recruiters who have been inundated with AI-generated resumes. A survey of 3,000 hiring managers by Resume.io, top resumes sister brand, found about half of hiring managers automatically reject resumes written by artificial intelligence. It's about finding the balance between using AI so that it benefits and does not sabotage your search, Augustine said. When you don't do a very heavy-handed edit to it, that's where you get into trouble. Augustine suggests instead creating a longer base resume that lists every skill, accomplishment, and added value. When the time comes to apply for the job, all of the information needed is written down and the applicant can simply trim down the elements that are not a great match for the specific role and makes other minor tweaks. It's not a complete overhaul of your resume. You have this expanded resume that you edit pieces out to make sure it's curated for the role that you're applying for, she said. And then when the time comes to send in the resume, Augustine said applicants are better off sending it in early. Even then, though, candidates should not expect a quick hire. Taking on a new employee can be expensive, Augustine said. So employers are really drawing out the interview process today. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the March 8th issue of the Wall Street Journal. Jobs market shows steady growth. U.S. economy added 151,000 jobs last month, somewhat below expectation. This article was written for the journal by Justin Lehart. The U.S. continued to generate jobs at a steady pace in February, offering reassurances that the labor market has remained relatively stable since President Trump took office. But there were warning signs that it could weaken. The economy added a seasonally adjusted 151,000 jobs in February, the Labor Department reported. This was slightly below the gain of 170,000 jobs economists polled by the Journal expected to see. Still, that was better than the 125,000 jobs added in January. The unemployment rate, which is based on a separate survey from the jobs figures, rose to 4.1% from 4%. Economists believe that the cuts to federal government jobs under Trump came too late in the month to be captured in the February figures, but the report did show a loss of about 10,000 federal government jobs over the month, unusual both because it is a decline and because it is such a large one. Of that, 3,500 lost jobs were at the post office alone, where employment often swings higher and lower from month to month. The remaining 6,700 jobs lost represented the biggest drop in more than 2 years. Morgan Stanley economists wrote in a note on Friday that they did not believe the decline was a reflection of layoffs, but was instead the front edge of the freeze on federal hiring. Trump put a hiring freeze in place on January 20th, the day that he was inaugurated. Local governments added 20,000 jobs, about half of them in education. State governments added 1,000 jobs. Trump, a Republican, heralded the numbers as a success during remarks on Friday from the Oval Office and pointed to a number of investments that companies have announced, including Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, expansion plans for the United States. He dismissed the effect of large-scale layoffs of government workers. "We had too many people in government," he said, defending a forthcoming plan to gut the Education Department. Stocks finished the day higher, though they were still down for the week. Markets were battered during the week by Trump's back and forth on tariffs. Healthcare accounted for a large portion of the February employment gain, adding 52,000 jobs. The transportation and warehousing industries added 18,000 jobs. On the other side of the ledger, though, retailers shed 6,000 jobs, and the food services and drinking sector, largely restaurants and bars, lost 27,500 jobs. That could be an indication that immigration restrictions are beginning to affect the supply of workers at businesses that depend heavily on immigrant labor. Economists expect that the combination of government job layoffs, reduced government funding, uncertainty over tariffs and immigration restrictions will at least temporarily weigh in on employment growth in the months coming. Still, some had worried more weaknesses would show up in the February report. Economists at High Frequency Economics, for example, had expected a gain of just 30,000 jobs. While we don't like being wrong, we are relieved that the February payrolls number did not print as low as we thought it might, they wrote in a note following the report's release. Joe Bruzuelas, who is chief economist at RASM US, said that the report showed that underlying demand for labor remained strong in February, but he cautioned that the administration's tariff moves could unsettle that in the months to come. This might be the last of the job reports that will not be impacted by the significant changes in trade policy that are in train, he said. The Federal Reserve is widely expected to hold interest rates steady at its meeting in 2 weeks. Many indicators show that the labor market is solid and broadly in balance, Fed Chairperson Jerome Powell said at a conference in New York on Friday. Average hourly earnings rose 0.3% from January, putting them 4% above their year-earlier level. For its jobs figure, the Labor Department surveys employers on how many people they had on their payrolls during the pay period that included the 12th of the month. Anybody who worked at all during that period in February was counted as employed. That included federal workers still in their probationary period after getting hired or promoted that the White House began laying off around February 13th. It also includes the roughly 75,000 people who accepted the White House's deferred resignation offer, where the White House said they don't have to work but can still get paid through the end of September. Those layoffs will begin showing up in the jobs count in the months ahead. Exactly how many federal government workers have lost their jobs so far as a result of the Workforce Optimization Initiative, led by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, is unclear. Some firings might not have been announced yet, while in other cases, fired workers have been called back to their offices. There also are layoffs at private sector employers where government contracts and grants have been canceled. Outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas on Thursday said that it counted 63,583 layoff announcements in February in the federal workforce and in government contractors. Labor Department data also show that there has been a pickup in initial claims for unemployment benefits filed by federal government employees. Beyond the layoffs, the government could also lose a number of jobs due to attrition as a result of the hiring freeze. Strategists at Evercore ISI worry that uncertainty over contracts and grants is having an additional paralyzing effect on hiring and employers exposed to these funding sources or in need of regulatory approvals from agencies that are themselves paralyzed by DOGE review. Many businesses are enthusiastic about Trump's plans to cut the taxes and scale back regulations, and that could lead them to increase hiring. The White House believes that tariffs will encourage manufacturers to bring more production and jobs to the U.S., and that cuts to government jobs and spending ultimately will make the economy more efficient. Worries over tariffs, though, could also weigh on the labor market. This is in part because uncertainty over what imports from what countries will be subject to higher tariffs and at what rates makes it hard for businesses to even hire. Immigration policy could also restrain the job market. The number of people coming into the United States began declining last summer, but since Inauguration Day appears to have dropped sharply. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal, the 11th of March. Artificial intelligence race reshapes the job market. Nate Ratner wrote this article. Companies are increasingly asking their potential technology hires, "Do you know how to work with AI?" Nearly one out of four United States tech jobs posted so far this year is seeking employees with artificial intelligence skills, job listings data show, as companies in nearly every corner of the economy adjust their recruiting pipelines to embrace the technology. In the information sector, which includes many of the tech giants investing heavily in artificial intelligence development and deployment, a leading 36% of IT jobs posted in January were AI-related. Companies in finance and professional services industries, such as banks and consulting firms, also are looking for technology staff who know how to use or build AI algorithms and models. And it isn't just high-tech companies that are making AI a priority these days. The debut of Open Artificial Intelligence's ChatGPT in late 2022 was a turning point for the AI job market, said Anil K. Gupta, a professor at the University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business and co-lead of its Artificial Intelligence Job Tracker. AI-related jobs existed before then, he said, but the chat box opened eyes about the power of integrating artificial intelligence into products and workflows, leading to a diffusion across sectors, even as many companies were pulling back from a pandemic-era hiring binge. The university's data show that a large retail company, for example, posted for a data science director who could use predictive algorithms to improve their store layouts. A utilities provider looked for an analyst to assess wildfire risk with machine learning methods. And a drug maker sought out a programmer for its computational chemistry group. In industries that make up a smaller share of the tech hiring landscape, open IT roles are increasingly AI-focused. Only a fraction of healthcare job postings, for example, are tech jobs, but the share of new technology openings in January that were artificial intelligence related was nearly double that of a few years ago. Companies are mostly out there looking for people that have experience or knowledge integrating artificial intelligence into jobs that already exist, and not hiring for completely new AI-focused roles itself, said Thomas Vick, who is Senior Regional Director at staffing firm Robert Half. A company might want a cybersecurity engineer who can use artificial intelligence to more accurately and efficiently evaluate potential threats, he said. Artificial intelligence-related listings represent a fraction of the overall market, making up 1.3% of all job postings in January, according to the Maryland Tracker, which is published in partnership with job data firm LinkUp and consulting firm Outrigger Group. Tech job listings, which cover a broad group of computer and math-related occupations, were 5.4% of all openings. New AI-related postings rose 68% from the time ChatGPT was released in the final quarter of 2022 through the end of last year, while tech postings were down 27% over that same period. Engineers without AI skills can still fare well in the job market, said Andy Challenger, Senior Vice President and Challenger, Gray and Christmas. The outplacement firm works with companies who are letting go of workers to help them find new jobs and sees engineers land more quickly than the average worker. Artificial intelligence skills tend to fetch premium pay today, though, and might also bring in job security with. Not seeing a lot of people with cutting-edge AI skills come through our programs right now, which means that companies are hanging on to them, Challenger said. The following is from the Work Friend column written by Anna Holmes, which appears in the New York Times, this from the January 26th issue of the Times. This was a question and answer. A rude coworker is not held accountable. Question: I work for a large organization interviewing employees about their commitment to the mission. I have been in this role for 5 years now and I love the work. The problem is the videographer I am forced to work with, who pretty much lacks emotional intelligence. This is a diversity issue because he is on the spectrum. I get good interviews because I can put people at ease quickly, and he does the opposite, and I constantly have to do damage control. He was so rude on assignment at a remote site that the department told him to leave and never come back. Then there is the quality of his work. He makes requests such as, don't move your head when you talk, or keep your tone of voice even, to make his editing work easier, or because he doesn't know how to handle the situation. He will even obstruct a project if he suspects it's beyond his abilities. A videographer at the executive level recently acknowledged picking up projects when he proved not competent to complete them. I have brought these issues to the attention of his manager as well as the department manager, but they just keep saying he's trying or he's taking emotional intelligence classes. So what would be a good way to get leaders to take this seriously? The question comes from Anonymous. And the response is, this videographer sounds like a handful, and though I have lots of empathy for people who are socially awkward, whether on the spectrum or not, neurodivergence is never an excuse for repeated rude or bad behavior. In fact, this seems less of an issue of emotional intelligence or personality diversity than just plain obnoxiousness, obstinance, and entitlement. But here's the thing here. This guy is obviously a lost cause, which is to say that this has reached a point where his managers need to intervene and rectify the situation, not just by having him take classes in emotional intelligence. You say that a person at a remote site told him to leave and never come back. Another employee, and at the executive level no less, has been made well aware of his incompetence, and yet, nothing? You also say that you've brought this employee's behavioral issues to the attention of his manager and a department manager. So why are they not intervening? I have to think that his managers are covering for him for some reason, a reason you and I probably will never understand. And so I'd suggest that if you haven't already, begin documenting and making a list of the many examples of his obnoxious behavior and their effect on other employees as well. The last is a bit crucial. And then send this list to your manager and his or her manager. And if that doesn't work, get HR involved. It's important that you make it clear to everybody you approach that this is not because of a personal dislike of your colleague, but concern about his behavior's effect on the others around him. And to mention the actual quality of his work. Stress to HR that your and the videographer's job is to document your colleague's belief in and loyalty to the mission of the organization you both work for, and that his behavior suggests anything but commitment. In fact, it undermines what you're trying to document in the first place. Good luck on this. This is all we have time for on our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, and I'm a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.